And grant, Heavenly Father, that thy word may enter our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. John chapter 4 and verse 48, this All Saints' Day, we take just part of the ordinary gospel. John chapter 4, verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. I think a thing that troubles me more than almost anything else in my Christian life is the number of people I've seen grow near the kingdom of God, who I've spoken to, and then drift away again. Fishes who got off the hook. Now what I notice from this story of the nobleman and his son is how the Lord Jesus reeled in the line. And it's something that we need to learn. It's a practical, ordinary lesson, and yet with immense spiritual consequences. And it needs looking at very, very carefully. The reason is, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. And many of us have not become fishers of men. Now, the beginning of reeling in the line isn't there. It's when you cast the hook. And the hook is here in verse 45. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. Now what they had heard at the feast was a man who could certainly talk. But what they noticed were his actions matched his words. And that is the first simple thing. That is the bait we have on. The inspection by the Galileans was close and thorough by hundreds of them. And they weren't unintelligent people, although they weren't very good at reading and writing. But what they saw was very clear, that this man did exactly what he said. He was not one of those who said, do not do as I do, but do as I say. That's the very first lesson in catching fish, that there's no fish caught without that. Now, turn to the fish itself, and let's take up this, because it's a hopeful subject, and may it become more hopeful in our lives, and may we get over the hump which is between us and catching fish, that feeling of impossibility. That's what I want to tackle this morning. Now, the fish was a hopeless one. If you were going to fish in a pool and you wanted to catch a huge carp, you could sling in a hook all day and never catch one. They're only caught by the utmost stealth in the dead of night. And these huge carp you see pulled out of lakes and that are caught deep in the midnight. Now, this is because it's impossible to catch them by day. This man was an impossible catch for the Lord Jesus. He was called a king's man. Now, a king's man was not a Roman nobleman. They were hereditary and they were in Palestine. But the Jew, Josephus, carefully distinguishes between them and the kinglets and their followers. Herod Antipas was almost certainly who this man worked for, like Chusa, the wife of Susanna, who was his steward. Now this man worked for that fox Herod, and he was one of his courtiers. That means that politically he was a Herodian, and in religious terms he was a Sadducee. So here is a man who could not have been further from the kingdom of God. Even very bad men weren't as far as that. This man was convinced that by going along with the Romans and that by not believing in miracles, he could win heaven and keep the Jewish people alive and well. He couldn't have been a more modern man. Now, that is the sort of person you and I deal with every day. So it's worth thinking about his ways and thoughts. Now, the next thing about it is this. He had a long time at this. He was a young and obviously ambitious man. But he'd been in this quite a while. He had a son who was sick. So it wasn't something he'd arrived at yesterday. He'd been at it years. He'd obviously worked his way up in the court and got there. Now, the next thing I notice is that things weren't as they seemed. And that is why we fish for men. They're not what they seem. On the surface, this was a hard man, dressed for a king's palace, and with a large retinue of people round him, and very anxious to keep up politically. So you couldn't have said that he was a very good choice for a fish to catch. But what he was is this, a man who God had sent troubles into his life. He had a son, perhaps his only son, we don't know, but he was very sick. And he calls him this little lad. Spurgeon spends a long time saying he wasn't small and that households don't get baptized over all this, but he was in fact a little lad. His father uses it twice. And this little boy was very dear to him, and he was sick and dying. Now, he wasn't just sick. He'd been abandoned by the doctors. He was at the point of death, and he had fever. Now, the ancients believed that the seventh hour of the seventh day was when fever came to its height. They believed that fever dealt in sevens, so we don't know. But we notice the seventh hour the Lord Jesus healed him. The fact is that this man had a head full of superstition as well, and here he was coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what he'd come for was because he'd heard of Jesus. And having heard of him, he came. He must have come having known something about him, how much we don't know. But he came quite a journey. It's between 20 and 25 miles. It depends exactly the route you travel. So he came a long way. And as he came down, he wanted the Lord Jesus' help. He must have thought about it a good deal on the way and what to do. Remember, he'd be a proud man because he was used to having others obey him all the way. Herod kept a court which was prided itself. However, when he came to Jesus, he showed a little faith. Not much faith. He was obviously worried about the whole thing, but he showed at least a low level of faith. And therefore, when you're catching men, do not expect at one jump that they move from no faith to full faith. This man moved a little way, enough to make him go on a journey, but that was because of our personal needs and the needs of his very dearly loved child. So he went to see Jesus by faith and immediately got a rebuke for his pains. Jesus said to him, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." Now it's a general rebuke, because ye is the plural. It's one of the things that doesn't come out in modern translations. You see, if you look back again at verse 41, this is a direct contrast implied with the Samaritans. And many more believe because of his own word, Lord Jesus' word. And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Now, contrasted with that, Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honour in his own country. Now, this puzzles the commentators. How did he go to Galilee? It says, then when he was coming to Galilee, or therefore, or so. What does it mean? Why go off where you have no honour? Well, the fact is, it was in Nazareth, between these two places, Cana, where he was when the nobleman came to see him, and Capernaum. And he says that there, that all Galileans, the whole lot of them, and the Jews, including this man who was a Jew, were lacking in faith. He says that except he see signs and wonders, he will not believe. Now, I notice that John Wimber may press signs and wonders, but our Lord Jesus had a low opinion of religions of signs and wonders. It is the only place we find in John's Gospel where wonders is added to signs. Some people say they must have been different with the Jews. We don't know they were different at all. What we know is that he's impressing the fact that signs and wonders, they were not a very good level of faith. And so he's all anxiety, almost certain that the child will die. He's clinging to his last hope. So the man shows a little more faith. You could divide faith into an infinite number of small steps, but this is another step. He humbles himself. Instead of stalking off in a rage, he gets down and says to the Lord Jesus, Sir, come down ere my child die. Now at the beginning he besought him. He was earnest, and he really went to the Lord Jesus straight away. How relieved he must have been that he was in Cana, because much depended on rumour in those days. There was no world service or anything to tell you what was happening where. And when you read the accounts of ancient things in battles and that, nobody seemed to know what was happening, and everybody was going on rumour and doubts and fears. Well, that must have been this man's position until he saw the Lord Jesus. But now, having been rebuked by him, he's not going to be put off. He's earnest about it. And this man there, for it knows that it's now or never. That's greater faith. Faith is beginning to grow in the man. He's prepared to humble himself lower than the Lord Jesus. And that would be quite something for a man like that. And what is wrong in our evangelism is that we don't spot the growing faith. We're not good at seeing where a person's faith has grown. We're not good at saying, well, they were like that, but now they've changed. We tend to write people off from the position they were at the beginning. But the Lord Jesus didn't, and really, it's a very interesting thing. The man isn't going on the Bible, although he must have known something of it if he'd been brought up as a Jew. But what he does is seems to go on the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you see what Jesus is teaching here? Look at it all. That this was reported about him, and he wasn't satisfied to have reports of miracles he'd done bringing people to him, because they hadn't understood the purpose of the miracles, that he was showing them in order to show that he was Messiah. That's why he rebukes him. He takes him higher in faith by a rebuke. And now, the man is ready, and Jesus pulls the fish into the net. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now this is where you and I are worst at fishing. And the reason is, we don't believe that a word from Jesus can change a life. The hardest life. Lives that have grown up far from God. But it can. Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word. He'd won. The Lord Jesus had got him. He'd got him all the way. How simple. If only you and I were trusting the Lord Jesus that by a word he could heal them. Instead of having to go all round, beating round the bush, get them to Christ, let them hear his word, and that will heal them. That is the key point of the fishing here. And the Lord Jesus did it beautifully. And now the Lord Jesus has him. Now he stops pleading and quietly obeys Christ. He believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. He gave up. Now, when a person really believes, they don't go on saying, Lord, 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 please save me, please help me, please deliver me, please go on, please, please. They stop. They rest on his word. It is good that a man should both quietly wait and hope for his salvation. And this man did. So there is a stage you can see in people when suddenly all the pleading stops and they know, because Jesus has spoken to them, that they are his. You can put it what way you like, they're born again, they're saved, whatever. But they're his. And that's where Jesus had got this man, by growing his faith. I expect he went with some worries, but also with a quiet determination to go back and see Jesus' word fulfilled. He could tell that Jesus was telling the truth, and he knew it, and it rang the chords in his heart, and therefore he went home. He was absolutely clear about it. Now, the agony and the pleading is over. He in truth received the word of the Lord Jesus, and that has saved him. And the one thing to get over to save people is the Lord Jesus' own word. That's what saves. That is what will save the environment, and that is what will save the nations, and that is what will save individuals. There's nothing else but the bare word of Christ. Now this man rests on that bare word, and so do you and I. We have nothing else in life. We would die in our sins if it wasn't for that word. So he goes on. Now the last stage of faith is when the others come to meet him. And you look. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. You see, that Jesus had said that word, thy son liveth. And they repeat it. Now that must have been a great strengthener to the man's faith. Here were people who'd seen his son. There was a man who'd said it, and they both said exactly the same thing, thy son liveth. Those sort of little coincidences are what convince us that we're on the way of holiness, that we've passed the wicket gate, that we're on the straight and narrow way that leads upward to eternal life. So Christ is there. At 1 o'clock in the day, that's the seventh hour, having spoken it. Now what time is it with the man? Because people find fault with this story and said, how could he have gone 20, 25 miles and arrived the next day? The likelihood is, and you'll see it in Hull's picture of the thing, that they had torches and that he met them at something like 2 o'clock in the morning. Going up and going down to Capernaum, and the truth is that the man went into the next day, but probably not far. He can't have hurried very much. If he'd really not believed, he'd have rushed home. But he knew things were all right, and he went home at a reasonable speed. You have to remember that's 40 miles in a day, or 50, because he'd come down and then gone straight back home, so it's a long way. It isn't surprising it took him till next day. And he'd won. The Lord Jesus had established his faith. The fever had abated. It had burned itself out, is what the word means. It had ended and reached its boundary. And then the man begins to inquire. Well, there it is. You can get assurance by careful reasoning. Now let's think about this miracle a moment, because this problem is ours. And we want to learn some exact things, not just general things, about fishing for men. So first is, we saw, we don't expect faith to come suddenly, but it to grow. When in faith a man seeks God, faith as a mustard seed will get him to heaven. But small faith is not what we want. Now, when you get this man who you're speaking to, or woman, you point them to Christ, and Christ is the answer to their every need, physical and spiritual and mental. And the man was one to Christ and felt it because he prayed. Now you watch that. The moment he was won to Christ, he prayed. He didn't just generally beseech the Lord. He said, "Sir, come down ere my child die." Now, when people are seeking the Lord, there is a general level of prayer. But when they find him, there is something different enters into the prayer. And ye may know a person saved by the way they pray. You don't have to say to them, "Pray this prayer after me, and then you'll be a Christian." What you do is watch, and they'll pray the moment they're saved. They may pray, if they're very rough people, in some very funny and rough way, but pray they will. And he prayed with all his might. And most of us live our lives in fear of death. But this man's fear of death is removed. His son's death, which was worse to him than his own death, it was removed from him. So this man takes the kingdom of heaven by storm. He realizes the violent enter the kingdom of heaven, and it's violence that's needed to get there. And he takes it by storm. But don't expect too much from the man. The man has one fault, and that is, he says, "Sir, come down personally ere my child die." He cannot imagine that anything but the presence of Jesus can do it. Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth." What he meant was, "My word is sufficient." The Roman whose servant was sick, the centurion, he said, "Speak the word only." And Jesus said, "I have not found such faith, no, not in all Israel." And this man shares the weakness of Mary and Martha. "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." But Jesus said they were only to believe, and her brother would live. "I am the resurrection and the life." All you need to get through death and not taste death and not see death is to believe the word of the Lord Jesus. When it comes to death, the Lord Jesus will make sure that you never see it. He tasted death for every man, and you and I will taste death, but as a very small thing, something that isn't very large at all, something that's just part of the way to heaven. We won't see it. The seeing is for those who are marching the other way into the blackness. And they will see. And they'll see death and fear it. And they fear it terribly. You and I have lost the fear of death. And this man did. And that's a great, great comfort. Now, the next thing is, get everybody to accept Jesus' way, not their own way. When he came to Jesus, this man expected Jesus to do it in the way he laid down. After all, he was a nobleman. He only had to give an order and all the slaves and servants obeyed him, and his wife and family and everything. So he was in a position where he expected his word to go. Everybody who comes to Jesus has to learn that you can't lay down the way it's done. Because so-and-so was saved in such and such a way doesn't mean I am. God decides what way, when, and how he'll save. And he has many different methods. So then, when we're fishing for men, we do not have one method. We take them to a certain place and they all get saved under the ministry of a certain person. We get there and just speak to them. And they are saved as we bring them to Christ. That's the key of landing the fish. And you see, even when they're landed, fish will go back into the water. But there's a last stage to this, and that's this. He sees the problem is that he's not a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and he becomes a disciple. It says, so the father knew it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Where people's houses don't believe, it's a very sad thing. But there is a promise to us that our houses will believe. And we need to grasp that promise and act on it. We need to take it to ourselves. We are disciples of his, and therefore we can expect that the house, the children, will follow. It's one of the most wonderful things there is in the Bible, that God has mercy unto the third and fourth generation of them unto thousands in them that love me and keep my commandments. And I mean, God has done it in our lives, in our family, my own family. I'm quite sure at least to the mid 1600s we can trace people who've believed in the Lord Jesus one after another in a long, long line. There's a fact is that once it's done sincerely, it goes on. And it goes on from generation to generation. Never give up. Keep on asking the Lord. Now, Satan opposes faith. And so this is just what we learn off this. The first obstacle, and it's much said about it today, was the Galilean talk. You see, the Galileans had said it. This man came from Galilee and hadn't a very big idea of them. When he heard Jesus come out of Judea to Galilee, he went unto him and besought him. Now that's the first thing today. Satan says, don't believe in Christ. It's all talk by these people called evangelicals who are good at talking and very, very poor at understanding really learned subjects. That's how he gets at these people and says, don't believe in them because all the learned men say the world created itself and all the rest. So make sure that your lifestyle matches your words. That way you get believed. Now the devil threw that in the man's path, that the whole thing looked just like Galilean peasantry talking. Then the devil says, you've prayed, nothing has happened, All it is this charlatan has said to you that thy son liveth. And I'm sure as the man rode home, the devil will have suggested in his ear, there's nothing to it, man. There's absolutely nothing. You've made a complete fool of yourself. You've gone this huge errand and you'll find your son dead at the end or in exactly the same position. He must have had that. The devil always throws and pours cold water over faith and does his best. Well now, the man's faith was beyond signs and wonders. And the trouble with much of the church in England today is faith has stopped with signs and wonders. And they're not a very high level of faith. Now the devil's third way of stopping faith and getting the fish to jump back in the water instead of getting it into the landing net is lack of diligence. This man carefully inquired the day and the hour. He took a lot of trouble with the servants to make sure that things were exactly as Jesus said. And a lot of fish are lost through lack of diligence. Get a man who's converted to go to church, to read his Bible, to keep on thinking about these things, to face up to the obstacles and difficulties and to ask for questions. That is the way. Now, before you say that you can never fish for men, doesn't it look easy and doesn't it look simple? And it should do. Amen.